essentially the investment would be $12.5K. What do you think of that?
There's a couple things that I liked and a couple things you said I didn't like. I hate the fluff. That's my biggest question. How many people can I actually have an impact on?
I got something for you. You and I will do a mini content recording thing on stage that you can get the rights to repurpose.
What I was thinking I was going to be able to do was $7,500. I know you want to close the deal on this call.
You know I do.
It is less than a month until my in-person event, Sponsor Games, and I'm more than $20,000 in the red. And I'm not telling you that for sympathy, because what you're about to watch is me doing exactly what I teach. Getting on a call with a potential sponsor, pitching in real time, navigating objections, and fighting to close a deal that I genuinely need.
So Haley, you have been jet setting lately. I mean, you were in London. I mean, you're quite the world traveler these days.
You know, I'm like really working towards getting that platinum Delta status. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm really close. I blame the fact that I have a company card. It's their fault. I'd be like Delta Platinum Plus status if I was doing it on my own card. It's all Kit's fault.
Part of all this travel has been from your new role, right? I mean, you've moved into a pretty exciting new role at Kit. Well, first of all, tell me a bit more about like what you are going to be focusing on in this new role and like what some of your aspirations are to advocate for the creator community.
So my new role is titled Head of Creator Community. I mean, it's a pretty broad role, transparently. Like I'll still do a ton of the things that I've always done in the past, but what we're betting on, and this is like the thing that I think is most important, is that human connection and human relationships are really what set us apart. They always have set us apart.
I want you to pay attention to what Haley said right there, right? When a brand tells you why they partner with certain people or why they go to events, not what they sell, but what they believe. That's got to be your ultimate pitch angle, right? You can't just go in and lead with your metrics, right? Not even listening to what they're saying. You got to lead with how you can help them deepen that human connection with their audience, right? Or their customers. That's how you get to an ultimate yes.
What we're betting on is the more that we can do that, the more we can show up in the creator community, the more we can be embedded in the creator community, the better connection creators are going to have on Kit, especially when we, I don't want to say we're, you know, there's where there's feature parity, but certainly where there's multiple choices, you know, this, like you're very tied into the Kit community and could you go use another platform? Probably. But do you love me? Obviously. And are you going to ever leave? No. And why is that? It's because you love me. So we're betting that I can make a lot of other Justins.
I love how loud and proud that was, to be honest. Like it was very confident and pretty quite accurate. Do you view this also as a hedge against AI and that there will be this like crop of creators who are just very much like, like ick, like I want to like connect with real humans?
100%. I say this all the time, but the thing that I know in my soul, right, is that creators are more successful when they're in community with other creators and not when they're going to be in community with robots. And so we do that through craft and commerce. We do that through in-person conversations, but it's just like creators need to be in community with people that are doing the same things that they're doing and having like, I don't know, hugging someone for crying out loud, you know, like maybe someday we'll be able to hug robots. But right now, like it's a real person thing. Yeah. It's a hedge against AI and it's a hedge on, it's like, it's about humanity and trust.
This is basically a brand telling you their ICP out loud, right? ICP is your ideal customer persona. And when a sponsor volunteers this information about what they care about the most, you better write that dang thing down, right? Because that's the foundation of every pitch you'll ever send them. You know, I teach this as finding the brand's North Star. Because once you know it, everything else in your negotiation gets easier.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but like that was the impetus for starting Craft and Commerce all those years ago. Talk a little bit about how you view the role of your own conference as a brand in terms of building community. Because I imagine like this is going to be a big part of, continues to be a big part of what you'll do.
You know, Craft and Commerce, like if we go back actually, and I love this part of the story because I've been involved in Craft and Commerce since, we'll say, close to the beginning. Actually, my very first day working at then ConvertKit, now Kit, was the very first Craft and Commerce. And they threw together the event like within 3 months. So I remember I left my job, my other job at this other SaaS company, and I walked into this event in Boise with a bunch of creators that I was already inspired by. And I remember watching like James Clear on stage and Levi Allen on stage. And I was like, this, I'm so lucky. How am I even here in the first place? I was just like so inspired by the people that were there. I remember this one conversation I had with this guy and I was like, so like, tell me what it is that you do. And he was like, well, I teach and sell about making custom chinchilla cages. And I remember being like, what? What are you talking about? And I was like, it was in that moment where I realized how prolific the creator community, like there's a place for everyone. There's something for everyone to teach. Like who would have thought there's a guy out there teaching you how to make custom chinchilla cages. All that to say, Nathan went to crafting, or he went to a World Domination Summit. That was a huge part of his journey as a creator. And he walked away from that first year's event with a group of like five guys that are still some of his closest friends, James Clear, Barrett Brooks being two of those folks. The reality is that they went on this journey together and built their businesses together, all wildly different businesses. Without those friendships and without those relationships, I don't think James Clear would be the James Clear that he is. I don't think Nathan Berry would be the Nathan Berry he is. And I know that Barrett wouldn't be the Barrett that he is if they didn't have that connection and relationship together. And they really wanted to do that for our people. And so Craft and Commerce has been this. I mean, you've been several times. You've spoken on our keynote stage. You've taught workshops. And Craft and Commerce has started to become the place where creators across all levels, but ultimately it's like all my friends are going to be there. And you're going to walk away with new friends. You're going to learn regardless of the level that you're at. And it's a real opportunity for us to serve our community as a digital platform in a way that's really challenging to do as a software company. We make zero money on it. You know how hard it is to run an event. It's a cost center for us in a lot of cases. And we love it more than anything.
Brands run loss leader activations all the time, right? The question is, what is the ROI that they are measuring? For Kit and their event, it's community goodwill. It's long-term retention. If you're pitching a brand on an event sponsorship or any sponsorship, honestly, you need to understand which bucket they're measuring against, right? Is it awareness? Is it retention? Is it acquisition? Are they trying to get, you know, content that they can repurpose? Because that is going to change your entire value proposition.
There's little things that happen at Craft and Commerce every year. Jay Papasan came up to me this last year backstage and he was like, I want you to know how impactful this event is and has been for me. And I want you to know without a doubt that you are changing people's lives by running this event. And that sounds kind of silly when you say it, but I 100% believe it. It's like, I want to be responsible for creating a connection between two people that connection will actually change the trajectory of their life. Then they will look at me or look at Kit and forever remember that Craft and Commerce brought two people together that wouldn't have otherwise happened if Craft and Commerce didn't exist.
You notice how Haley didn't say, we want leads. She said, we want to change trajectories. That emotional outcome is the real thing that she's buying. Brands almost always have a rational justification and an emotional reason for a sponsorship. You know, your pitch needs to speak for both. And the rational, I think, kind of gets you in the room and the emotional gets you the deal.
Yeah, you know, I think the interesting thing about this kind of transition that Kit is going through, obviously, with the big rebrand project over the last year, but also making another very large bet with studios, right? So you've built out multiple studios now, in the first one being in Boise, then Chicago, and then obviously one coming to New York and other locations.
We don't have one in Boise. We have one in Boise. But
Boise, you know. I made a huge faux pas right there. That was very much insulted.
It's like part of my identity. I just like have to call you out for it.
So we're talking Boise. Is that the phonetic Boise?
That, exactly. I see Boise, you. Okay. Boise. Yeah.
Got it. Perfect. We're definitely not editing that out. Like I'm going to have you roast me on this. So yeah. So Kit Studios, like tell me about that. Like why did you guys do that? Like where does that fit into the world domination plan?
Kit Studios is like my probably one of my favorite things I've ever worked on at Kit. In, I think it was 2018, Nathan was, I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the corner that it was, like where he was talking, but every year, every 6 months, I guess, at our retreat, Nathan will do like kind of a state of the business and he addresses the whole team. And at this point, the team was pretty small and we're in Oceanside, California, and he's, you know, got his computer like hooked up to some crappy TV. And I don't know, the team was maybe 30, 35 people or so. And he is just like, I want to open up creator coffee shops, essentially, right? Where creators can come in and they can create content together. And I think the whole team at the time was kind of like, what? Like, no, like this is this crazy idea that Nathan had. It's one of those things that had never left him. Like he felt so calm. Like he just, it like ate away at him. And every year he would kind of like refresh the idea. And we were in Mexico now 2 years ago. This is after we've looked at a bunch of stuff. And I was like, are we doing this or what? And he was like, who's going to do it? You know? And I was like, I am, I'm going to do it. And he literally just says, he just goes, all right, let's do it. And at that point, like I just took it and ran with it. And ultimately what it ended up to become, right, is a collaborative podcast studio. We have five studios in Boise and a conference room in a big open area. It's Tim Grohl actually said this really well. When you sign up for Kit and you go and you experience the space, because as a customer of Kit on a paying account, you get access to this free studio. It's a world-class podcast studio for free, where otherwise you might be paying hundreds of dollars an hour to record. And Tim Grohl goes, you know, you remember that feeling that when we all had Amazon Prime, we paid $99 a year to get 2-day free shipping. And then like Prime TV came out and I was like, so basically we get like Netflix too, like with our Prime account. And all of a sudden this company that ships us stuff is also providing us entertainment. And it was just like this awesome add-on that you couldn't, you're like, what? Is this even possible? Like, how are you making money on this? Like, and it's kind of like that feeling where it's such an amazing feeling that you could walk into the studio and you're like, I get this for free. And that's another way that we get to serve our people. And the reality is with technology, as you know, it's not easy to actually figure all of this stuff out. And so often creators don't actually take the step to create the thing that they want to create that they've been dreaming of creating because they don't have the cameras, they don't have the audio equipment, they don't know the lighting, they don't understand editing. And so they just don't do it. And so Kit Studios, you walk into Kit Studios and you sit down and you look at yourself. Like we had this moment in Chicago where this creator sat down and she like came to tears because she had never seen herself in such a professional environment. And she was like, I can't believe how good I feel looking at me on that camera and feeling like I finally am happy with the way that I'm presenting myself to the world. And if I could give that to every creator, I would do it because it's that barrier to entry that so many people aren't creating stuff that the world needs to experience and see. And I feel like we're trying to give that experience to as many people as possible.
I got goosebumps hearing that anecdote. I mean, that you guys have done something really, really special with Kit Studios. And in fact, that was how we got our mini sponsorship of Sponsor yeah. Games over the line last year, right? Because we were trying to figure out, okay, like how are we going to get Kit involved? I wanted y'all to be involved from the beginning. It's so funny. Like, I feel like we can talk about this pretty transparently, but like as it is in a lot of businesses, like y'all have priorities, right? You have different objectives that you're working on quarter to quarter for the year, et cetera. It wasn't until I basically said to you, like, okay, but what if the grand prize is like we fly yeah. the winner of the games out to Kit Studio Chicago, which was like just opening at that time. And you were like, yes, I can sell that internally. Right. And so
I can do that.
Right. And it's funny because Molly, who was the winner, she just literally texted me because she went not too long ago and she was like giving me the play by play real time update on Instagram stories. Like, this place is amazing. We recorded like 8 podcast episodes. And so I do think your original vision, yours and Nathan's visions from all those years ago have definitely come true.
I don't think I've ever been more proud of something because of the actual impact that I feel like I directly had on people's businesses. Like people being able to sell thousands of dollars more worth of their course because mm-hmm. of the way that they professionally show up on the course. Like it has a huge impact.
Obviously, you have your own conference and you have your own, you know, initiatives, and that's a big part of how you continue to remain advocates for the creator community and supporting Sponsor Games also, like you know, Kit going out and sponsoring other people's events, right? Being in front of other people's audiences, whether from a client retention perspective. So like, are there going to be kit customers there that we can rub shoulders with and so on, but also getting exposed to, you know, new creators who don't even have an email list. How are you thinking, especially like moving into next year, how are you thinking about your non-owned outreach strategies?
There's three reasons why I choose to go to an event and sponsor an event. Client acquisition, to your point, getting new customers on kit. Client retention, so engaging with our customers and spending time with our people and building that relationship. And brand awareness. I would say there's a fourth one as well that kind of falls under brand awareness, which is serving creators, like just serving, teaching. We believe like one of the things that's most important to us is teaching everything that we know. And so
now here's a framework that you can steal immediately. Before you pitch any brand, especially an event sponsorship, ask yourself, which of these three boxes is it going to check for them? If you can't articulate a clear answer for at least two of them, probably, you might not be ready to pitch them. Notice how she doesn't say, oh yeah, I'm so excited to get our logo on the banner. That is not a reason. That's a deliverable.
I don't know if it's the fourth reason or the fifth reason at this point, but you forgot one, which is you love me. I mean, I think I'm just really surprised that you forgot that one, because that seems like a really important one.
That is a really important one. That is an important one as well, you know?
As you're thinking about your own objectives and the company's objectives into next year, is it the studios that continue to be the biggest thing? Is it the app store? Are there other initiatives? Like if we were to partner again for Sponsor Games 2026, like how would you be thinking about like getting a return on that investment?
Retention is huge. It's a lot bigger than people actually think that it is, especially if there's affiliates in the ecosystem as well, or like at the event as well. Retention, like, you know, I go to this event, if there's competitors there. Now, I know that you would never have a competitor or sponsor.
Well, there might be. You might want to show up there. I don't know.
But the reality is that as a business, I have to back into the numbers. Right. And so there's an event that I go to, for example, that has like competitor. There's always a competitor there. And the way I think about it is I'm like, all right, there's 100 attendees. We'll just make the simple math. There's 100 attendees at this event. And typically you might engage with 30% of those folks. They walk up to your booth, they engage with you. And then you might actually convert, typical sales conversion, you might convert 30% of those people that show up. So that would mean that they're converting, you know, out of 100 people, 30 people show up to their booth, right? And then they're converting 30% of those people. So that would be 10 people that they are converting. Now, depending on the size of those creators over the course of 1 year, of how much revenue we wouldn't recognize due to the churn, that could cover the cost of an event pretty simply for me. So it could be like $15,000, right, investment to sponsor a particular event. And if a competitor's there and they do what standard is convert 30% of the people they talk to, their leads, that covers the cost of that. I don't even have to get a new client. Right, for that. And it could cover the cost of the event and make it worthwhile for me.
All right, this right here is exactly how sophisticated brand marketers think, right? They're doing the math before they ever sign your proposal. So you should be doing it for them, right? I call this like making the math obvious. Like if you can show a brand the rough ROI math in your pitch, even directionally, you remove their biggest objection before they even raise it.
And so when I think about, like, I think about those sorts of things as it relates to all of these, like, who's going to be there? And I want to know from the event organizer, are they using email? What percentage of people that are there are using email? What percentage of people, if I had to guess, like, are using a competitive product? Are people like that are our customers versus another customer?
Haley is asking for data that is going to help her say yes even faster. Isn't that what we want? Right. And so this should be your cue. If you want brands to commit more quickly, you have to proactively do an audience survey or have your finger on the pulse or have some analytics, some breakdown that you can send to them and say, here's why I think you want to get in front of this audience.
I'm evaluating a bunch of different things. And then also our ICP, which like our ideal customer profile right now, we're making a heavy focus and push on authors, particularly nonfiction authors. The caveat to that would also be folks like you before you wrote Sponsor Magnet. You had on your vision board, I will become an author, you know, or you are planning on publishing your book. And email, especially for a creator that's, let's say, your size and not someone like James Clear, it's important for both of you. Email for is wildly important for the success of a book launch. And so for us, how many authors are going to be there, or people that have that focus or that goal that's on their vision board in the future, because that's a huge focus from a customer perspective for us.
Two really interesting things. So I just finished up my 10K brand deal challenge, and I had a bunch of authors in there. So this is a really interesting evolution that I'm finding, is that, like, to your point, a lot of authors especially have email lists, right? They're growing an email list because it's a big deal for them. Also LinkedIn. A lot of the authors that were in there had a large following on LinkedIn. That was never on my, like, ICP when I started this business. It was like, oh yeah, authors. I'm going to help authors get sponsorships, right? To, you know, kind of funny here, but we did just secure a presenting sponsor for Sponsor Games, which is Lulu. So they are all.
I love myself some Matt Briel. He is so cool. He's just
He is the best. He's amazing. And he's making a very similar, you know, bet that you are, that, you know, authors like are very, obviously for them, it's like a, you know, their core business. But like, they were a sponsor last year. They were on the ground. Matt was there along with, you know, another person on his team, and they're coming back for year two. And so they very much found value in, to your point, perhaps some of those earlier stage creators who have a large body of content, whether it's YouTube videos, blog posts, that they can quite easily turn into books or journals or, you know, notebooks and so on. So, like, green check mark right there. Like, I feel like we're totally in line right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Point number two is that we're definitely, the event is going to be much more ambitious this year. So not only are we doubling headcount, but we're making it even more, I guess you could say, all inclusive, meaning that our goal is to, like, not have people pay a single dollar the moment they, like, step in the door. So every meal is catered. Last year it was like we catered lunch. This year it's going to be breakfast, lunch, and dinner for all attendees. And we're going to be integrating our sponsors much more deeply into the programming this year. We had some, like, a limited amount of tabling last year, and it was okay. They had, you know, sponsors had swag on there and stuff, but, like, really what was most valuable was, like, the sponsors were, like, out to dinner with us. You know, they were, like, you know, rubbing shoulders with everyone at lunch. And so it was like, what can we do? For example, can we put some sort of almost like speed dating with the sponsors into the programming, where there's actual time built in? Okay, now groups A and B are going to go back and talk to Haley, you know, and we're going to talk about XYZ. What I would like to pitch you on is that, as part of a sponsorship of Sponsor Games, that part of that budget would go to sponsoring an attendee at the event, meaning that you would identify a, you know, worthy, you know, creator who has a good platform and it's resonant with the kit messaging. And so that money would then go to them. So you basically, you have a one pager kind of, like, letter of intent, you shake hands and be like, let's get this deal done. And that would be part of it. So maybe you'd be on stage with them and I'd help facilitate this conversation. And so really, like, how cool is that you could go to Sponsor Games and, like, walk away with a potential sponsorship? Kit is the kind of the economic engine behind my business, right? Like, I viewed growing my newsletter as, like, has been the number one priority for me for the last 5 years growing this business. And so it would mean the absolute world to me if you would be interested in supporting it. And so essentially, and I can send you kind of the itemized list of, like, everything that we would be included, but basically it'd be like a bunch of email promotion, obviously having you there physically on the sponsor tank as one of the judges for, you know, to crown the grand prize winner would be amazing. You know, integration into the speed dating events and so on that we're going to be building. I can detail kind of, like, what the swag would look like, but essentially the investment would be 12.5K, and 2,500 of that would go to a creator, like sponsoring a creator. So it'd basically be 10K for us as the event organizers and 2,500 to the creators. So what do you think of that?
Well, first, I like that I'll just say this. There's a couple things that you said that I liked and a couple things you said I didn't like. And you know this, that I sell sponsorships for Craft and Commerce as well. So, like, I have sat in your seat. I hate the fluff. Right. The, like, I'm going to include you in emails and I'm going to put your name on signage. And I'm like, cool. Like, and the reason for that is because I don't actually think that translates to much of anything. I think that's something that, as a standard practice, like, that's just what people do. So they do it.
I want you to hear this loud and clear. If you've seen some of the other episodes on this podcast where I've pitched other sponsors for the event, every marketer values different things. Haley, in particular, doesn't really like the fluff. And so if you're proposing proposal deck, if your media kit is mostly like logo placement, newsletter mention, you know, you might be pitching the wrong things. It might be not resonating with the sponsor that you're trying to pitch. You really need to lead with outcomes, not outputs. Oh, that's a bar. Lead with outcomes, not outputs. What are their customers going to feel? What are their customers going to learn or do differently because of this partnership or your attendees? That's what gets the deals done.
And I'm just saying this for sake of like, you know, like obviously, you know, this more than anyone that I am like the most transparent human on the planet. Just give all the details away. But the things that are most interesting to me is the service component, right? That's why I'm always trying to pitch like, and I know your event is slightly different, but that's why I'm always trying to pitch, how do I serve? It's like, how do I get the chance to interact with as many people as possible and teach and serve as many people as possible? And so when like I book, for example, like Nathan to show up or like we're sponsoring an event, I'm like trying to get Nathan on stage talking about flywheels. We don't sell kit at all. We might be talking about something totally different, like how email might be a small component in a flywheel, but it's not the thing that we're focusing on. My point is I guess like, how do I serve? Like, what is that? That's the thing I want to know more of. Like, what is the actual impact that I get to have on the attendees that are there, where they walk away and they say, Haley at Kit taught me X, or Nathan at Kit taught me Y?
This is the whole game. Brands with sophisticated marketing teams, they don't want to buy impressions. They want to buy association oftentimes. They want to be remembered as the person who helped you. And so if you're pitching a brand, you have to frame your offer as, here's how your brand becomes the hero in the room. That's a totally different conversation than, okay, here's your logo placement.
And then the other part that I really liked that you said is that you actually clearly delineated the cost impact from the sponsorship on that going and directly supporting a creator. So saying basically your investment in total is going to be 12.5, but 2.5 is going to go towards this. And then even what I'd love even further is like itemizing that out, because then I know exactly where that's going. And I love the idea of sponsoring, like, yeah, getting someone there that wouldn't otherwise be able to attend, because again, the impact thing is really important to me. Tells a really good story. Makes me feel really good. I'll say I don't like the speed dating thing. And the reason I don't like the speed dating thing is I've done it a million times at a bunch of different events. There's two things. Actually, I like it for one reason. I don't like it for another.
Okay.
One is I'm a long story long kind of person, man. It's a problem of mine. The good thing is that what I can do is I could rapidly help a bunch of people and I could schedule a million follow-ups from that. The side of it that I don't like, so it's like a 5-minute conversation, like it just isn't enough for me to serve people the way that I want to serve them. So while it's valuable, it does not give me like, I'm like, let's sit down. Let's talk about your business. Tell me all the things. What are your income streams? How are you using email? What's your tagging and segmenting look like? I have a love-hate relationship, we'll say, with speed dating, because it requires an immense amount of follow-up work for me to actually provide value to those attendees. I've done that sort of speed dating thing, and then I'll do a 15-minute invite and I'll like open it up to everybody. And that's even, it's just not enough time. So my calendar gets like jam-packed with that. So that's why I don't particularly love that.
I absolutely love this. You know, this is honest feedback that you almost never get from a brand. You know, when a sponsor does, let's say, a 5-minute table rotation, the follow-up burden often falls on them. As the event organizer or the creator, you know, your job is to design activations that do the follow-up work for the brand. And so the easier that you make their job, the bigger the check's going to be.
So as you know, like the format of sponsor games is like somewhat unique in that like we're pretty explicit. Like there's no panels,
no,
there's no workshops, there's no pitching, there's no like, it's all like hands-on, almost like group coaching for 3 days, basically. To your point, like that very much is something we've heard from other sponsors too. It's not like, you know, like what can I do to like have a in-depth conversation with prospective customers of this brand that doesn't feel like a pitch? And so I'm curious if you have in your mind, like what's the version of that feels exciting to you?
So what would it look like for everyone at the event, regardless of platform that they're on, to walk away with a funnel or some email sequence or some sort of email campaign where every single person has to actually build it out in order to accomplish the end goal of earning a sponsorship in some format or another? That would be something that would be interesting to me, because you could do it as a challenge, as a game. I'd have to think about how you'd measure it, but that's like a big impact that you could have on every attendee. And then, I mean, I'm just spitballing a little bit, so.
No, I like the spitballing. I mean, the unique thing about Kit and just email marketing in general is that like, it is a content format that you can use to upsell your sponsorships. So like if you either you don't have an email list or you do, but you're not, you're underutilizing it, integrating that idea about like, how do you not only grow your email list, but use it as an asset when you're cross-selling or upselling your sponsors on other social platforms, for example. So that's actually kind of interesting. So from your perspective, like, I heard some things that you liked. I heard some things that you needed more info on. I heard some things that you don't like at all. What would be helpful to see from me in terms of follow-up information for you to be able to go to your team to make a decision on this?
You know this. I mean, I'm the decision maker. If I decide I want to go, then we're going. So I don't necessarily need full approval from someone else.
Deciphering your contacts' decision-making authority before you pitch, oh my gosh, that's the holy grail. And in this instance, Haley was kind of confirming to me that she doesn't need approval from anyone else. Like, she is the decision maker. You know, I've wasted like weeks of follow-up sending proposals to people, you know, follow-ups who basically had to run everything up the chain. And for whatever reason, I didn't have like access to who the decision makers were. And I think like asking early, like, are you the right person to evaluate this? Or are there others that should be looped in? Obviously, you can, you know, ask it in a kind way, because, you know, again, like, when your contact is the decision maker, the whole conversation moves faster.
I need a breakdown, like I said, of the three things that are important to me, right? Or the two reasons. Because so when I go to an event, I might go to an event only for retention. So if you can say, hey, Haley, 100% of the attendees here are going to be Kit customers. You need to be in this room because these are your people. And as you know, my effort, my focus is being in community with our creators. Like I said, it's not always going to be about acquisition. I need to know who's going to be in, like, number of people. What are the number of people that are going to be in the room? Every event that I sponsor, I'm always asking, like, can you collect any of this information? Who are they using for email? You know, and that's valuable information for them to have, even if they're not, like, Kit's not sponsoring. Or, like, are you using email in your business or not? Because that also helps me better understand whether or not I'm going to be in a room full of a bunch of beginners, or I'm going to be in a room full of a bunch of creators that are pretty far along in their creator journey. Because from a retention perspective, losing a customer account that has, you know, has under 1,000 subscribers is very different than losing an account that has, you know, Jay Klaus, right? You know, he has 100,000 subscribers or whatever. I need to have a better understanding of like who's going to be there. I love better understanding the speaker roster, because the speaker roster, and I know your event is wildly different than the traditional event, but I love to know like who are the people of influence that are going to be there, because the relationship component of those people is also wildly important to our business.
You probably know this better than most, but one of the challenges about getting an event off the ground in the first like year or two is that, like, we have data from the ingestion survey when, you know, for ticket holders of last year, relatively basic ingestion data about like where they're at and their biggest challenges and so on. Because we haven't like officially opened ticket sales for next year yet, we may not have a lot of that data about who's coming until, I don't know, maybe a month or two or 3 months before the event. Would it be valuable to you to have directional data from my larger audience? It's going to be a smaller sample of who's actually present. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to say, it's like, it's kind of cart before the horse, kind of like chicken and egg challenge, where it's like, we're not going to have that data yet for you to be able to feel comfortable committing until after we need a commitment from you. You know what I mean?
No, I would say yes, that information is valuable. I don't always need it. It's just that I want it. It'll make the decision easier for me to say yes. It's just a faster and quicker decision for me to say yes. Otherwise, I have to really roundabout, like, think about all of the variety of different reasons why we'd attend this event. It's just more helpful if I have the information to make it an easy, like, everybody's on board, essentially.
Just to hammer this home, you know, brands don't just need a reason to say yes. They need a reason to say yes now. And data can do that. It removes the kind of internal friction and gives them like air cover to present the investment to their boss or their, you know, colleagues, or if it's an agency, to their client. Because next time you might be following up on a stalled proposal, you might want to consider like attaching, let's say, like a one-page audience snapshot of the attendees or the prospective attendees, because this could be the thing that like unsticks the deal.
What I'm hearing is like, this is pretty much a slam dunk. I just need to get you a little bit of information. And you just need to remember.
You need to tell me more specifically how I'm going to serve every attendee that's going to be there.
Good. Okay. I feel super confident that we're going to figure out a way to do it. I'm going to chat with my team. It's very interesting and useful to know like what the thing that is most important to you, like service. Mm-hmm. How can I be of service to these people in a way that isn't just like, you should sign up for KID? It's like, there's a lot of other ways in which you can provide value for them. And like, that very much aligns with the ethos of what we're trying to do with the event, of like just helping people holistically. And frankly, like one of the things we say a lot is like, one of the best ways to be a better negotiator when you're doing sponsorships is have a diversified business where you can say no to bad deals, right? And so growing up robust content strategies, you know, content formats on email and so on is like one of the ways to do that. And so it's very much in align with the ethos of the event. So Haley, I super, super appreciate your level of transparency. Like it's super rare that kind of pull back the curtain and kind of hear the honest truth of like what is important to you when you decide to invest in something like this. So I super appreciate it.
All right. So I want to pause a second here because what you just watched, the first part of this conversation with Haley, and what you're about to watch, there was a pretty significant gap between these two conversations, because after the first call, Haley kind of went dark a little bit, but it wasn't because she wasn't interested. You know, she was bouncing between, you know, continents, like traveling for work. She was like internally trying to like champion this event to her team, kind of going to bat for me behind closed doors, trying to like convince people at KIT that they should be investing in this event. And, you know, we only have a 1 year track record. And, you know, I'll be honest, like there were moments where I thought that this like wasn't going to come together, but I never gave up hope. I never stopped following up. You know, I was polite. I was persistent because I believe in what we're building, you know, with Sponsor Games. And I knew that if I could just convince Haley to get back on a call, that we could figure it out. And that is exactly what happened.
Haley, part two of our conversation. I'm very excited. A lot has changed for, I think, both of us since we first chatted about a potential partnership. How are things going on your end?
Oh, things are going. We're officially into the new year. January flew by. Budgets have been made. Lots of fun stuff. I've been around all around the world so far. I went to Dubai earlier this year. We had our team retreat in Mexico. So I kicked off the new year with some travel, which is great.
That's amazing. I recall that like the tail end of our conversation last time, there was a couple things that were kind of like outstanding. You know, vibes were high, vibes were immaculate. We're like, we're going to do this deal, but
I appreciate that
right here. But there were a couple things that you kind of wanted to circle back on. A couple were, you know, you really focus on this idea of like service. How can I be of service to the attendees who are there? How can I ensure that, you know, people leave with a great impression of KIT? And another item was like really understanding a bit deeper about who is going to be there, at what phase on the creator journey are the people who will be attending. And so I kind of wanted to close the loop on these things, as well as perhaps pitch something to you that might be a hybrid of what we last discussed, given that I know there's some pretty exciting announcements for y'all on the corner here in terms of new locations opening for KIT Studios. Can I say that? Can I share that now?
You can share that. It's very exciting news.
So tell me more. It sounds like when and where is this happening? Talk more, a bit more about that strategy, maybe.
Well, if you're new here, we've launched two KIT Studios in the last almost 2 years. So we have a Boise location and a Chicago location. And let me tell you, New York real estate is no joke. Okay, so I think I'm like, when we announced KIT Studios New York, we were really far along on the lease process for a location, which ultimately ended up falling through, which was like so devastating. And so in late December, I went to New York. I spent 48 hours touring God knows how many locations. And I walked into this space near Flatiron. It's like 27th and 6th. I'll wait to give you the exact address. And I saw these 14 foot ceilings, full brick wall, beautifully redone space. And I about died. And I, let me tell you, this space is slightly over budget. There's anything I know how to do, it's how to convince Nathan to spend more money, you know? And no. But we found this amazing space that is perfect location, perfect space. And so we are hoping to open sometime in the spring.
Good job. Yes. Not picking an exact date. That was masterful. That was masterful.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be the most epic of all the KIT Studios. I can't even tell you how in love I am with this space and how excited I am to bring it to life.
That's super exciting. And again, a super, super, super unique thing, initiative that y'all are bringing almost like this kind of multimodal capability to how you support creators. Can't wait to come. In fact, I mean, this was, again, like a big part of how we partnered last year for Sponsored Games in terms of you flying the grand prize winner, Molly, out to Kit Studio Chicago. And she brought her friends and they filmed a bunch of podcast episodes. And she privately told me that that was like a highlight of her year, like being able to just, you know, shoot in those studios and all that. And so part of the idea that I wanted to pitch you here to hopefully get this partnership over the finish line would be to run it back, something similar again for the grand prize winner of Sponsor Games 2026, where they would get a similar trip out to New York to film in the new studios. I think could be a pretty awesome component of the partnership. Also, given that, you know, we now have our presenting sponsor locked in, who's Lulu, as well as other partners, Paperform and Sure, wanted to come back to you with the idea of perhaps a reduced budget to, you know, forge this partnership, something in the realm of around $7,500. And so that would be basically $7,500, and that would include the event sponsorship. Well, actually, before I go into kind of all the details, given that I know that you've been traveling like crazy over the last like couple months, do you think that you'll be able to attend the event, or do you think that if you do commit, is this something you'd be able to attend, or what's in your head right now?
Yes. I think I told you this. This is a terrible reason to commit to an event, but my cousin lives in San Antonio. Right?
Let's go.
What's really nice actually is there's a handful of events, and I mean, just logistically, like this is the one of the reasons why we're doing this is to teach, like to talk through and share learnings on negotiations and how to make this work for people. And as you know, there's South by that's also in the same time, and there's Texas in March, man, Texas, I'm going to spend half of my time in the month of March across various cities in Texas. So I would say there's about a 75% chance it's me, about a 25% chance it's one of my teammates who lives in Austin. So someone from Kit will show up.
Okay, amazing. I love that, because going back to the kind of the whole service angle, one of the other big benefits, I think, of having someone from the Kit team there would be to have a representative on the sponsor tank, which is kind of the final event, and you'd be a judge, judging, you know, people's pitches as they competed for the final prize. There is also another thing that we're going to be adding into the programming that we're tentatively titling Sponsor Therapy. So we danced around the whole kind of speed dating idea. And I know in the previous conversation, you were kind of lukewarm on that idea. And so this is a kind of a hybrid of this idea, where one thing we've kind of talked with some of our attendees about some of the challenges that they've run into when negotiating and talking with sponsors. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have expressed that they feel when they get ghosted, whether it's in the pitch phase or the negotiation phase or any point during a conversation, they just wish they had some closure. It was like they wish that they could just hear from a brand, like, what were you really thinking? Like, why did you stop responding? Like, what was it, too much money? Yeah. Like, what happened? And so this idea that we have is almost this kind of like small little groups where representatives at each of our sponsors they'll basically be able to ask questions like, this is what happened to me, you know, not you, like I wasn't talking to you, it was just like I was talking to some sponsor and they did this weird thing, like, why do you think they did that? if it was you, what were you thinking in that situation? Wanted to kind of float this idea by you, as I just think it would be really cool to have someone, you know, from your team as well as the other sponsors to be able to participate in these like mini breakouts.
I'm obsessed with this idea because I almost share too much information to people. I just believe in radical transparency. And so I love this idea. Like I feel like you and I have had conversations like this, where I can tell you where my head's at and why it's where it's at and what I liked, what I didn't like. And I don't have the opportunity, I would say, to give that to everyone that pitches me something. And that's just based on sheer capacity. So I love this idea because I think it's, you know this, I was a former athlete, but I think the feedback loop is ultimately the number one thing that helps you get better. And when people are pitching, that feedback loop isn't closed. So I think this is an excellent idea. I love it.
Brands ghosting you, I think, is one of the most frustrating parts of this business. Here's what Haley just confirmed, which is that most of them want to give you feedback. They just don't have the bandwidth, or their hands are tied for some reason, which I think means that if you can create a kind of low stakes way for them to be honest with you, even if it's just like a casual, like, you know, hey, what could I have done differently? After a no that they give you, you might get intel that like makes your pitch significantly better.
Awesome. Going back to what you were saying earlier about service, like this is a really great way, I think, for you to, you know, be able to flex that muscle and, you know, not only as you're representing Kit, but just like as a human, you know, being able to, you know, commiserate with people and the struggles that they're going through as a creator would just be a great touch point there. I know you mentioned that you didn't really care as much about like email promotion, but obviously we would love to include you as some of the blasts as a supporting partner, signage, and then this prize package for the grand prize winner. The modified proposal is $7,500 cash plus the expenses for the grand prize winner. So what are your thoughts on that?
I love it. But I will say with the, I'd want this initiative to mat or to support our grand opening. So for example, one of the things that, and I'm still kind of like in this super ideation phase about what all the things that we're going to do as part of the grand opening, but I wouldn't want it to be as simple as flying someone out so that way they can create like their own content and things. Like, I love that, but I would want to be in collaboration with this, the winner, to where we actually create a series, like we follow along in the journey of them going to Kit Studios and the content that they're creating. We actually might have them record with some other creators that are in New York City that we help facilitate. So it's actually part of the grand opening and like the kind of aligns with some PR initiatives that we're doing to share the studios. In order for it to be as valuable as I think it can be for both the creator and for Kit, it definitely would have to align with the opening of the studios.
Okay. Amazing. I don't see why we couldn't make that happen. I guess the only factor would be like if the creator wouldn't be available, the creator who wouldn't be available for the grand opening, but I'm hoping we could like, you know, sort through those details. But yeah, I think that sounds like an amazing idea. Why couldn't we make that happen?
I feel like we can make that happen. Who doesn't want to go to New York City to hang out and record for like a grand, like be at a grand opening? Like who doesn't want to do that? Think of all the creators that are going to be in the room, the epic people, Nathan, you maybe. You know, look, you're not going to want to miss this.
I mean, I'm getting an invitation, like,
let me give you a different version, like some an idea, right? Because they're pitching.
Okay.
What if I said that as part of this, I wanted to create some version of a pitch where they actually have to pitch me on a series that's recorded at Kit Studios in partnership with the winner.
Okay,
so it's the winner X, we'll say Molly X Kit Studios, right? And then they have to pitch a mini series and I provide some like, these are the things that I'm looking for in the series to further like promote Kit. And they have to pitch the series as part of the competition. I know that's nuanced and it flows into a little bit of your scheduling and things like that, but tell me your hot take thoughts.
So my hot take is, okay, so in addition, okay, let me just put some stuff out there on the plate for some unmolded clay for us to talk about. In addition to our other partners like Lulu and Paperform, they have also committed $2,500 each to sponsor an attendee, meaning someone will walk away with a brand deal with those two companies at the event. And this is separate from the sponsor tank, the cash prize, the $5,000 cash prize they're going to be winning. And so I'm wondering if maybe this is that, maybe that, you know, because we're still working on like, how does one win these brand deals that are, you know, up for grabs at the event. And so maybe this is that, maybe part of that there's a $2,500 brand deal, that you're pitching for. And that brand deal is to go to the grand opening, shoot Kit Studios. It's actually nice that you have like already like a campaign brief almost idea of like kind of what you want to do. What if that's it? Maybe it's not, maybe the trip is not included in the grand prize winner. It's that it's a $2,500 brand deal to go to the grand opening.
I like that idea.
Done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll make it'll be a $2,500, you know, brand deal with Kit. Could we include travel and comms plus the $2,500? That's the prize. Otherwise they'll have to spend probably $2,500 to travel there and get put up in a hotel.
I'm pretty sure there were a handful of people that were from the UK that were there. And so I would have to get into some nuanced details on like what, you know what I'm saying? Like what I can contribute towards travel and accommodations. And I think that's actually how we structured it last time. So I think it depends on who.
Stipend. Like, let's just do a stipend. Let's do $1,500 stipend.
I will say though, what I was thinking I was going to be able to do was $7,500. So I know you want to close the deal on this call, right? Are we closing?
I mean, yeah, you know I do. You know I do. Okay, well, what do you need to be able to bring back to your team to say, hey, I know this is a little bit more than 7500. What do you need in your hand?
What do I need in my hand? Okay, so you and I talked about this quite a bit, right? There are three reasons why I go to an event. There's awareness, there's retention, and there's acquisition. On the retention piece, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'm not looking at the exact breakdown of the survey that you took for all of the attendees thus far. I think I need a lot of content out of it. So I'm like, it's easier for me to sell, right? If I can say, I can create a huge amount of content from this event. That's not on you. That's on me. I'm verbally processing right now. Okay?
Actually, I got something for you. You and I will do a mini podcast recording, content recording thing on stage at Sponsor Games that you can get the rights to repurpose.
Say more.
In between, this is what we did last year. So it was not on the agreement with our sponsors, but like I pulled Matt from Lulu up on stage and we did this kind of, we talked about CEX, we talked about Lulu, and we basically took that footage, gave him shorts, gave him the long form raw video, and they ended up repurposing it and running some of that stuff for paid ads. And that was like a big deliverable that they liked coming out of that event.
Okay. So we can collaborate though on what the content's going to be, obviously. Mm-hmm. Okay. I really want you to do the cha-ching again.
Okay. 8,500. 80, we're wheeling and dealing. 8,500, and that includes everything.
Done. Deal. It's a deal.
Hold on. Let me do another one. Let me do another one. Though. Look at that. Let's go. I want to say one very important thing, especially for anyone who's a fly on the wall listening to this. You and I have a friendship. We have a pre-existing relationship, and we've been talking about this for a long time, even you know, dating back to like last year, of course, and your support. I just wanted to say how much I appreciate like the fact that you've been continuing to advocate for this event, given that I understand it's like, especially last year, it was like a first year event. There wasn't a lot to expect. And so like, I know you went to bat internally for me to kind of advocate for why you need to support this event, and like that doesn't go unnoticed. And also for anyone listening or watching who is discouraged, right? You're trying to convince a brand or a partner to like believe in your vision and support you and all that. I think our friendship and our partnership over many years has gone to show that like there's a lot of competing priorities sometimes within brands that like, even though you may want to really support something to the fullest extent, there's just like other things at play oftentimes that have nothing to do with me. And I know that, and I'm objective and I know that. And so I just want to say, I appreciate you, and I'm really looking forward to partnering on this.
Thanks, friend. I appreciate that. I feel like, you know, for anyone that's a fly on the wall, this is, there are so many things that go into saying yes to a thing. Sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's capacity. Sometimes it's team. We're a remote team. Sometimes it's people that can show up. There's just all these other downstream things. And so the reason why I say that is because it's not sponsoring your event isn't just about awareness, retention, or acquisition. It's also about advocacy of Kit, right? You're an advocate of Kit. You're a proponent. You promote Kit elsewhere, like throughout the year and so on and so forth. And so your goal is to find a partner that gets that.
This is one of the most underrated parts of brand partnership in my mind. You know, the deal isn't just what happens during the campaign itself. If you are actively recommending a brand's product to your audience, you know, to your colleagues, if you're at an event throughout the year, you know, speaking from stage, whatever, you know, that's compounding value that brand is getting. It's really hard to quantify that on a spreadsheet. When you're negotiating, don't just sell the deliverables, sell the relationship that you're building with them. Because I think long-term advocates are worth many multiples of just a one-off campaign.
I super appreciate that. And quick little shout out at the end here. If you have not gone to Kit's conference, Craft and Commerce, it is one of my favorite events of the year. If you can't come to Sponsor Games for whatever reason, I really would recommend coming to y'all's conference, because I mean, you're the orchestrator of Craft and Commerce.
Let's add a little plus. Let's add a little sprinkle to this.
Yes.
Okay. We'll also throw in a free ticket to Craft and Commerce for the winner as well.
Let's go. Look at that. We had to bring it back. I love it.
Let's go. Holy cow. I am so stoked about this outcome. But like, that was not perfect, right? It wasn't like super polished. It was a real back and forth between two people trying to figure out how to make it work for everyone, right? And so I hope that that's one of your major takeaways from this conversation. Now, if you want my team of sponsorship coaches to be in your corner to help you land deals like this, we'd love to get on a call with you. You can fill out a form that we have in the info box, the show notes, to see if you qualify for our sponsorship coaching program, Wizards Guild. And we'll take a look at where you're at, what you're going after, and figure out if we're the right fit to help get you there. Spots are limited. I would love for you to fill out the form, and let's get you paid.